KALW.
So I will say that we cannot remove him from the house, but we can come and help you. But we cannot remove him from your house. That's not, MST can't do that, but we will come and help out, okay?
Today, we tag along with Sonoma County's mobile support team that's trying to help people in crisis.
He's not a bad guy. It's just that I can't take it. I'm at my wit's end now. I just can't take it anymore.
We'll hear about the gray areas that emerge when dealing with mental health. Then a teenager reflects on the support he received at his high school wellness center.
It was hard to cope with. I tried every day. Every day I wanted to stay home. I wanted to ask my mom, could I stay home?
An award-winning story from our teen series, TBH. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. Over the last few years, non-police response programs have been popping up all over the Bay Area. There's MACRO in Oakland, SCRT in San Francisco, and the AQCRT in Antioch. They're relatively new to the cities they serve and are still learning how to best run their programs. Up north, Sonoma County has had several mobile support teams for years, all with different acronyms and priorities. Last year, the county got state funding to expand one of their existing mobile support teams so that their crisis responders could operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But 24/7 crisis intervention isn't always what you'd expect. A warning to our listeners, the following story contains descriptions of intimate partner violence, substance abuse, and suicidal ideation. Here's KALW's Ren Farrell with the story.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
You don't mind.
I got it. Where do you want this, Linda?
Put it over here so I can just pull things out.
You tell me what goes where and I'll make it happen.
Just put it anywhere.
Okay.
When I was shadowing Sonoma County's mobile support team, I expected to meet somebody in crisis, but I didn't picture a crisis like Linda Alfano's. When we show up to her place, she isn't crying or yelling at anyone. She's calm and friendly and putters around for a while, making space for us.
I'll sit over here. I'll sit on this side.
Linda, I'm just going to move this. I'm going to move this knife, okay?
Put it in the sink. Thank you.
Linda's place is small but comfortable. It's full of Coca-Cola memorabilia, old family photos, and lots of little trinkets.
Are we one short four?
It's totally fine. We're good. We're all
five.
Okay.
It feels like we're visiting someone's grandma.
I love your Coca-Cola seats. These are very cool.
Sonoma County's Mobile Support Team, or MST, is a group of therapists and drug and alcohol counselors who respond to mental health crises in Sonoma County.
Mobile Support Team, Crisis Call Center, this is Steve. Can I have your name and callback number in case we get disconnected, please?
If you want a visit from MST, you call a number, separate from 911, that gets answered here at their call center in Santa Rosa.
Okay, thank you. And how do you spell your first name, please?
This is Steve McDonald. He's worked as an addiction specialist in Sonoma County for over a decade.
I am going to proceed by asking you a series of questions. There may be some brief pauses in between those questions.
Calls to MST aren't like calls to 911. You have to answer a long and pretty detailed series of questions to get a team sent to you. And just like our visit to Linda's, the pace of it took me by surprise. It's slow and repetitive.
I'll clarify. So the questions I'm going to ask you, they're going to be either yes, no, or unknown answers, except unless I indicate otherwise.
But they have to go slow because they have to make sure MST is the right team to send out.
So I'll clarify again. The question is there an urgent medical issue? It's not a question of psychiatric yet. Is there an urgent medical issue?
How slowly things move feels counterintuitive to me, but it's working exactly how it's supposed to. These aren't technically medical emergencies. They're mental health issues that require a slower, more nuanced strategy. Wendy Tappan is the program manager for MST. She says there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach to their work.
We work a lot in the gray areas where people aren't sure how to help or how to support. We kind of go in there and see what we can do to support in those areas.
Gray areas are usually related to mental health or substance abuse issues. They're where the black and white solutions we as a society tend to turn towards, like prison, a psychiatric care facility, or rehab, aren't always effective.
Yeah, we went to somebody who was having some vague thoughts of suicidal ideation. It was mostly related to their housing situation. They were having to be moved along and unable to stay in the place that they were.
Losing their housing was a crisis, certainly, but not an emergency in the lights and sirens sense. Police and firefighters wouldn't have been appropriate. And though they could have called a suicide hotline, the help that hotline offers is limited to what they can do for you over the phone. It was a perfect call for MST.
So we started looking at how could we offer other supports and other things that we needed to look at.
Eventually, they made a referral to a local agency that helps people get housing and other types of assistance. A lot of visits by MST end like this, with a referral to a shelter, a drug treatment program, or a hospital.
Wow.
When Linda Alfano, the woman we met at the beginning, who seemed more like someone's grandma than someone in crisis, called the MCU, she didn't have to go through the usual litany of questions. She'd already met the team.
Can I have your name and callback number in case we get disconnected? Okay, and your first name is Linda?
2 weeks earlier, she'd gotten into a fight with her partner, but she didn't want to call the police. So Chris Rouse and Lauren Gamble, two clinicians here, went out to see her.
I can give you the phone number to call. They're in the office, and I'll give you that main line, okay?
I leave the call center and head to the MST office. When I walk in, Lauren is talking to Linda on the phone.
I totally understand, Linda. I do. I understand.
In just a few minutes, it seemed like Linda's reason for calling had changed.
So I will say that we cannot remove him from the house, but we can come and help you. But we cannot remove him from your house. That's not, MST can't do that, but we will come and help out, okay? I know.
Do we need law enforcement there right now?
That's Matthew Taylor, another clinician at MST.
Is she safe right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Linda wanted help, but not the kind you'd get from emergency responders. She wanted the mobile support team.
Okay, we will be up there, I'd say about 20 minutes or so, okay? Absolutely, yes, we'll see you when we get there.
Lauren and Chris take off in one car, and Matthew and I get into another.
Is this like a domestic violence situation?
We don't know what it is. All we know is that she's wanting help. We don't know what kind of help. We know she doesn't want law enforcement, and we know per her report, there are no safety concerns.
By the time we get to Linda's, her boyfriend, whose name is Steven, is gone. For safety reasons, we aren't going to use his last name. It's peaceful outside Linda's place, and the inside is small but comfortable. We crowd around a small square dining room table.
Okay. I really love your Coca-Cola seats. These are very cool. All right.
Linda's short and sassy, with blonde hair that's twisted into a bun on the top of her head. She seems stable, but as we settle in, I remember that she's in the middle of a crisis.
So what happened today that... It's not just today. Oh, I know that.
It started last night, okay? Mm-hmm. And when he gets mad, he grabs my arms and...
There are several bruises on her arms, sorry. And some of them look bloody.
He's not a bad guy. It's just that I can't take it. I'm at my wit's end now. I just can't take it anymore.
Linda's 71, Steven's 63, and they've been together on and off for more than 20 years. Linda says the violence in their relationship started when Steven began using drugs.
You know, he grabbed me and his nails dig into me here, and then it's causing it to bleed.
She says this isn't the first time he's hurt her. But when she went to the police, the only solutions they offered were to either press charges or get a restraining order.
And I didn't want to get a restraining order because I felt that I couldn't abide by it. Because if he would have showed up at the door, like he does, okay, I would have taken him in.
For the most part, Lauren and Chris are familiar with the situation. Once we're settled, they launch into their follow-up questions.
So, Linda, I remember last time we were here, we had talked about boundaries, right? And kind of setting those boundaries with him. And okay. I know that the two of you had come to some good agreements, right?
Do you remember what they were?
I remember, I do remember what they were. They were that he was not allowed to...
They start to review the strategies they'd come up with last time they were here.
Did he follow through with any of those things?
Some of them.
This is the gray area, a conflux of domestic abuse, mental health issues, and addiction, and an approach to solving those issues that doesn't rely on incarceration or punitive punishment. It's not a new approach to mental health care, but it feels novel. The five of us sitting at her table, trying to figure it out together.
So my concern, though, is that things have really escalated. This is not what it was like when I was here last time, and I worry... Because I know you care for him.
MST spends more than an hour here. They listen to her go back and forth about what she wants. And again, we bump up against a gray area. Not even her feelings about him are black and white. She wants him back home, but she just can't stand taking care of him anymore.
You know, holding on to what used to happen with him, what he used to do, it seems like it's putting yourself in danger. He's not the person that I fell in love with. And sadly, drugs do that.
Over the last few years, rates of addiction, homelessness, and mental health issues have spiked in the U.S. 1 in 5 Americans are living with a serious mental health issue. More than 17% of Americans have some kind of substance abuse disorder. And rates of homelessness continue to increase dramatically all across the U.S., especially in California. Rates of intimate partner violence in the U.S. are even higher. Data from a national survey found that more than 40% of women and 26% of men experience some kind of intimate partner violence in their lifetime. But domestic violence victims don't always want to involve law enforcement. There are lots of reasons for this. Fear of retaliation from the abusive partner, fear of breaking up their family, or fear of not being believed by the police. These intersecting issues are what the mobile support team is trying to address. But as you'd expect, it's not always easy to figure out what's best.
As long as you keep opening your door and allowing him to be here, he's going to be here. And there's
but he has no other place to go. I can't help it.
He does. He has other places to
Where?
Go. He has other people to help him.
Where?
There are
Where's
shelters,
he go?
There are hospitals, there are post-hospitalization programs, there are post-crisis programs.
Linda doesn't like these options. She says she's taken him to shelters before and he never stays long. But Matthew, Chris, and Lauren are here to help Linda. And so they ask her again and again what she needs.
So I want to know, because right now what you're telling us is how you think we could help him.
Right.
What I'm interested in
is... You asked me that question.
I asked, how can we help you?
By finding him housing.
By finding him housing.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
It's not as simple as just letting Linda talk. To help Linda, they have to help Stephen too.
So... He's in the hospital right now.
Who?
Steven.
Right now?
Right now.
That's where he left and went there?
He's at the hospital, which is really good news. We can go. We were talking about going to us, to the hospital, to talk to the people there. Because
to get him some help.
She isn't satisfied by this.
We're not bringing him anywhere. But we're going to go to the hospital and see if we can get some services for him.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We're going to do what we can.
Yeah. Okay. And you look at
Should this. I at 6 o'clock go to the emergency
no.
room?
No.
Chris gestures to the swimsuit under Linda's blouse.
You should try to have
you should go
a
swim.
Day. Yeah, go swim and have
eat
a day
your,
relax.
Eat your sandwich and then get some sleep.
But even after all this, Linda is still worried about what's gonna happen to Stephen. In Sonoma County, I'm Ren Farrell for Cross Currents.
Ren is KALW's emergency preparedness reporter. He reported that story as part of the 2024 California Health Equity Fellowship at the USC Annenberg Center for Health Journalism. If you or someone you know is suffering from domestic or intimate partner violence, you can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233. Also, if you have harmed or are thinking about harming an intimate partner or family member, there's a hotline for you. It's 877-898-3411. It's anonymous and confidential. Find more resources at kalw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. KALW is home to several award-winning series, shows, and stories. Recently, TBH, our podcast made by, about, and for teenagers, received the award for Best Student Special Project from the Society of Professional Journalists, Northern California, for their 2023 season. Today, we bring you an excerpt from one of those episodes. We'll hear about a high school wellness center and how it helps address the mental health crisis among students. Here's TBH reporter Jamarian Adro.
It had been a year since I stepped into a classroom when I finally went back to school last year. It wasn't easy going that long staying in one home. That experience changed me. Before the pandemic, it was so easy for me to talk to new people. I was joyous. But then when the pandemic started, it took all of that away. I didn't talk to people outside my house. From the pandemic shutting me away from the world, to me having to fight for a reason to keep going every day, it was a dark time for me. It was weird to feel known, but known by nobody. My brother, Joseph Adro, is 21 years old, and he graduated from high school in June 2021. He's also dealt with his own mental health challenges when he was in high school. We're really close.
I love my brother. I'm gonna say my relationship with him is very tight. We get along very well. We always look out for each other. I always make sure he got everything he need. And we always talk to each other whenever we got a problem in each other's lives.
Now he's helping take care of our mom and our home and Alice Griffin, a public housing development in the Bayview. He likes to play video games, listen to music, and he makes his own music. When he was in high school, he found help at the Wellness Center. Joseph went to 3 different high schools in San Francisco.
It was hard to cope with. I tried every day. Every day I wanted to stay home. I wanted to ask my mom, could I stay home? I just didn't have the energy just to go to school.
When he was a senior, the school nurse suggested he try the Wellness Center. But he was afraid of what people would think of him. Wellness centers have been in San Francisco public schools since 2000. They're basically a safe place where kids could go to gain skills when they need to cope.
When I walked inside the wellness center, I didn't know how they was gonna feel about me. So I tried to not show my fear as much.
But Joseph didn't have anything to be afraid of. He said going to the wellness center was a wonderful experience. And a nurse told him to make it a goal to go to the wellness center every day. So he went as often as he needed to.
To make sure I was okay if I needed anything, if I needed to always talk to somebody, that they will always be there for me if I needed them.
He learned how to avoid panicking and ease into situations. It was like a lift that helped him get the rest that he needed. His sleep improved and he could wake up easier. A few days before I returned to school last fall, Sarah Huey reached out to me. She works for the Occupational Therapy Training Program. That's a nonprofit that contracts with the Wellness Center at Independence High School, where I'd be going. I had already known about Sarah because she worked with my brother when he was a student, but I was still so surprised to hear from her.
Working with you has been so beautiful. I can't even say. I mean, last summer, we were here where we are right now, but you weren't leaving the house and you were in a very different spot.
Sarah's right. I was in a different spot. I was still in the pandemic state when she called. I actually hung up on her. She called me back and I eventually picked up. She told me she'd be working with me during the school year. And finally returning to school, I had no idea what to expect. It almost felt like I was taking a shot in the dark and hoping for the best. It did feel good to see people again after so long, but it came with anxiety. Sarah says what I was feeling was normal.
I do think that students are struggling more now after COVID, after the pandemic. Like, Independence High School is primarily for students who had low attendance at other schools, and it used to have fairly low enrollment because students were going to school. And since COVID, it's a huge wait list to get in because there were so many students who didn't feel ready to go back to school in person. And I think that's really affected mental health. It's such a crucial time to be with friends and to develop those skills, and to have not had it for so many years has really been a setback for a lot of people.
Before school started, I went with Sarah to orientation to learn more about Independence High School. Independence is a small school of less than 200 students. It's a school with a lot of freedom. Students can create their own schedules. About 30 students from Independence were there during the orientation with their families. Sarah gave me a tour around the school, and I met with some of the teachers.
Independence is a school that is all transfer students, just about. So nobody knows each other, and it can be kind of lonely, I think, for a lot of students. So we really want to make it a warm, inclusive environment that people can choose to participate if they want to and have a lot of different options available. So there's like boxing club, cooking club, crafting, all types of things.
The Wellness Center is a big room with a few U-shaped couches and a box full of stress toys. There's a snack area, a microwave, some tea, and a big table with pamphlets for resources.
So the Wellness Center has like the traditional things like a talk therapist and social workers. And then it also has all these other activities that it's hosting all the time.
But at first, I still didn't want to use the Wellness Center resources. I'm the type of person to keep problems to myself. And talking to people about my problems wasn't who I was.
Here in Independence, everybody knows about our wellness center. You know, we make it known.
That's Andrea Hahn, a school district nurse at Independence High School. I met her while making flashcards with Sarah. My teacher suggested I talk to her, and I went to her for tips on my weight loss journey that started our weekly check-ins.
We know the data is there that shows that students who are physically and mentally healthy do better academically. They attend school more often.
80% of our talks were tips on weight loss. 20% was about mental health. One of the main tips that I still do, even now, is instead of diving into food right away, I take a 2-minute break, then focus on something else. I use the Wellness Center to take a break and relax, and I found more ways to deal with mental health issues rather than bottle them inside. The fact that Andrea offered to meet with me weekly made me trust her. Andrea never expected to become a nurse or work with kids. When she was in her 20s, her dad had gotten sick, and she and her mom did 24-hour care for him.
It was really a big exposure to the healthcare field for me, and I was fascinated by it, and I was actually pretty good at it, and I've always had a desire to help people.
When her father died, her mom went back to work as a second grade teacher in a small private school.
It was very difficult for her. She's in her 50s, and I really was there a lot trying to help her. This is where I could really make a difference in really helping students, because it's so important what you go through when you're younger.
That sounds like me and my brother doing home care for my mom right now. Andrea says people are talking more about mental health than when she was in school. She says the Wellness Center in San Francisco is a model studied by other school districts throughout the state. And because Independence is a small school, students can drop in anytime.
We're always fighting for more resources and fighting for more funding to make it even better. But we're ahead of the game. We really are.
Not all students have access to those same resources. According to the American School Counselor Association, nearly 1 in 5 students in the U.S. don't have access to a school counselor at all.
Every district should have a wellness center model like we do.
That was reporter Jamarian Adro from the award-winning season of TBH. You can find the full episode and the rest of that season at klw.org/TBH or subscribe on your podcast player. And before we go, have you ever wondered what it's like behind the scenes of our show? Well, join us for Cross Currents Live. I'll be hosting a night of storytelling, poetry, dance, and music. It's a chance to experience your favorite Cross Currents features, and there's pizza from our friends at Joy Ride Pizza and drinks, plus a live performance by Sudanese dance troupe Shabal. Come connect with us at Cross Currents Live. That's November 22nd at 220 Montgomery in downtown San Francisco. All the details and tickets are at klw.org/events, and we hope to see you there. Today's Cross Currents team includes Yosmai Del Maso, Anthony Ivey, Aaron Lim, James Rollins, Ganadi Joe Johnson, Victor Tense, Molly Blair Salier, Shirina Adil, Hanisha Herjani, Angela Johnston, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega Welch, Sunni Khalid, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.